This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm not here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
I am not his little brother, Jeffrey. This is George Jensen, a friend of the show and show's webmaster, and Ola Tucson. See if I can channel Jeff there for you.
Yes, so George Jensen, who, yes, is our webmaster, is replacing the vacationing Jeff Ronstadt. Jeff, I think, is in a...
He's living large down in Costa Rica, isn't he?
I thought it was like in a bunker in a secure area.
Which is down in Costa Rica.
Yeah, so they're having a little bit of family time down there. And we are enjoying this beautiful summer dry. Well, it's getting into the wet
We're starting
summer.
To get monsoonish.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very, very nice. And we, since we sort of broke the typical pattern of being a show, I have to go back a little bit. We want you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Because George gets to see, he's got some connections to the NSA and watches you as you check out our website.
I know where you live.
Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you can actually download this program, subscribe to the show for free on iTunes. Now, we are still waiting, George, for the queen of the evening.
I know, I'm on the edge of my seat.
We spoke to the folks over at Tohono O'Toole, actually, on the way to the show, and the Night Blooming Sirius is still in stall mode. So hopefully within the next...
Is it Sirius or Cirrus? I don't even know.
I'll do a little research here. I always just call it the queen of the evening.
Well, perfect.
But I know it does have a real name. And it's the Night Blooming Sirius.
Oh, okay. Why so serious?
So, you know what? Yeah, well, it's the queen.
Okay.
And we're still waiting on the queen. And if you go to TohonoChulePark.org and click on, you can sign up for the newsletter for Bloom Watch, and they will tell you as the blooms progress and when they are going to open up. And that's something you really want to do because if you, it's a beautiful evening up at Tohono O'Toole. The Bistro Garden, or the Garden Bistro is going to be open, which is a restaurant up there. But the fragrance of this flower, how gorgeous it is, and it's only going to be on one night this year, as it is every year. So sign up, go to TohonoChulePark.org, sign up for the newsletter. And actually, if you go to fredandjeff.com and look at the events page, there'll be a link to that as well.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so other stuff going on, and this is all, I guess, botany-related. Third Thursdays at the Tucson Botanical Gardens is going on. Just happened this last week on June 20th, but July 18th, August 15th, September 19th, live music, artist reception. It's 5 to 8 p.m. The Tucson Botanical Gardens over at Alvernon and Grant. $9 gets you in the door, and it's going to be quite the hit.
Terrific. All things botany-related for the changing of the seasons. Tucson having five seasons, we're going from dry summer to wet summer, aren't we?
Yeah, so one of our former guests or prior guests was talking about that. Tucson actually has five seasons.
Yeah, people complain, I don't want to go to Tucson, you don't have seasons. Not only do we have seasons, we have one extra.
Yeah, we have five. So there. So, yeah, we have left the dry season and enjoying now the monsoons. Started, on Monday?
I believe so.
And actually, the cool thing about the monsoon season starting is we actually got rain on
It was last Saturday.
Which is very amusing because typically, you hear in the news, the monsoon season has started. And it's like you look outside and it's dry.
Doesn't seem monsoonish.
It's nice and blue out, no clouds, but we got a little rain.
Yeah.
So we are heading into our first break. When we come back, we're going to have some brilliant guests.
Very much looking forward to this.
Yes.
Some folks from the Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair, SARSEF, the science fair. We're looking forward to talking to them about what's going on with the fair and with the kids and all things education, science, technology, and engineering related.
So if you're a science geek, hold on to your seats. If you're not, you're still going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
So welcome to the Fred and Jeff Show. We'll be right back. This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my webmaster.
Good friend, but not little brother.
my webmaster, Jensen. George Jensen from georgejensen.com.
Yes. Hola, Tucson.
And we want to say hello to Jeff and his family because I am sure that they're listening on the World Wide Web.
I am certain that they have gone to fredandjeff.com and clicked on to listen live now, as many of you are probably doing.
Yeah, that's so, right. That's right. So, George, before we get into the guests, I want to give you a little opportunity to promote the stuff you do, because we have a really user-friendly, beautiful webpage, and you actually put that together.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate it. User-friendly and function is really kind of my forte, so I'm good at making things work well on the web. My primary purpose, I guess, as a software designer is building custom databases, and that's I'll mention that with our guest here today. I'm doing some work for the science fair, but for the Fred and Jeff Show, it's a unique website in that it's essentially a set of podcasts, and so we've got a very friendly interface in order to access all of that audio. Also, you can listen live on to the radio at that time. So yeah, that's what I do. As far as making them look good, I often work with other designers. Fred was my consultant on this one to get the colors the way you wanted them and get the photographs. But I tend towards fairly workmanlike designs, and I believe that, you know, websites, if you think about the ones you use the most and the ones you really get a lot of utility out of, most of the time they're fairly Spartan. And so that kind of goes to my web designing techniques, is just get the information there as quickly and easily as possible with less design.
Yeah, you know, the thing that was most important to me during this whole process was getting pictures of me that looked really good. Mm-hmm. And ones of Jeff that look really goofy.
Yeah, well, you and you've taken care of that, I've noticed.
yeah. So my goals were met. But, you know, people in the community who have businesses can, I think, their businesses can be really enhanced by a clean,
good web presence.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A really good website.
Yeah, I think any organization needs one. The question is, and if I'm not a fit, and I'm not for a lot of businesses, but if I'm not a fit, I'll be sure to. I'm very good at helping somebody understand what their needs are and a good way to meet them. And well, that's how I met our guest today.
I was just going to say
that's the segue.
That is the segue. So in the studio with us today is Kathleen Bethel, who is the CEO and director of SARCEF, which stands for the Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair. And I like SARCEF a lot better because
yes,
it's easier to say.
It's a lot easier.
So welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. Very well. Thank you for having us.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you're here with Liz Baker, yes, a board member and a past winner. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, love to have you.
Awesome. So what we like to do first is talk about you guys a little bit because, you know, being the big mucky mucks at SARCEF, you probably had to do a few things to get there and show some interest. So, yeah. Kathleen, where are you from originally?
Well, actually, I'm from Connecticut, but we moved here when I was very young. So I call Tucson home.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, when I was 7. I don't even remember the snow.
Sort of blanked out.
Yeah, kind of forgot that.
Very nice. So what got you into the whole science thing?
Well, actually, my daughter got me into the science fair. I had never even heard of science fairs, didn't know what they were. And when she was 8 years old, her teacher sent her home with a packet and said, you need to do a science fair project this year. daughter happens to be sitting next to me.
Well, good for your...
her teacher, yeah.
Oh, wait a second. The person sitting next to you is your daughter?
Yes, that is. Liz Baker actually happens to be my daughter, who is now the chief judge for SARSEF and a past winner. But it was because of her third grade teacher that I got involved and she got involved. So it shows you the power of what a teacher can do, one teacher.
Well, and something I was surprised to learn about SARSEF and Science Fair in general is that it's only roughly 1 in 5 schools or 20% of schools that participate at all. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct. And it's kind of surprising because when you're here.
Well, I find it a little bit disturbing, actually, that it is such a wonderful resource and opportunity. And it seems to me to be massively underutilized.
Absolutely. And that's something, that's one of the reasons we're here today. We want to have more schools involved and more students involved.
Well, and really where it comes from is everybody listening today either knows somebody involved with a school or knows somebody involved with a teacher or a student. And any one of those three is a point that you can kind of, it's a button you can push. Say, hey, have you heard of SARSEF? Have you gotten involved in SARSEF? It is the science fair for Southern Arizona. So.
That's correct.
Absolutely. And one of the best things is that you don't need a teacher to be involved. When I moved on into high school, I didn't have a teacher supporting me, but I was able to enter on my own into the regional science fair.
Which is terrific.
So there are other options.
And it is great to have a teacher, but if you don't, if you're at a school where you don't, you can contact us directly. More importantly, I found this out because I'm designing the back-end database for the website that manages all this information. We're in the position where we can assign a mentor to somebody who doesn't have that. And we're always looking for mentor volunteers,
correct,
by the way.
Absolutely.
Let's take a little step back. So I want to know about the history of SARSEF.
All right. SARSEF began 58 years ago.
In Tucson
in 1955. We are actually, if you wanted to think of it this way, we are actually the original STEM organization. We were STEM before STEM was even cool.
Now, define STEM for our listeners who
haven't heard
the buzzword of the day.
That's true, because that is the buzzword of the day and the year, and that is science, technology, engineering, and math education. And I know people have heard about it in the news nationally, but also internationally and statewide. It is really where we have to head as a nation.
Well, I think it might be where you have to head as an individual if you're thinking about being employed.
Yes.
Certainly.
In fact, STEM jobs have grown more than 3 times as fast as non-STEM jobs in the last decade, and they're projected to grow even further in this coming decade. Mm-hmm. And STEM careers will actually be the highest career option for kids graduating aside from medical careers. So it's a really huge opportunity. Yeah.
So back when SARSEF began,
yes,
did it come from the U of A? Who sat down and said, we need to start doing this?
Yes, primarily it was sponsored by the University of Arizona. And it was until about 1996, 97. And then we just truly outgrew the University of Arizona. There was no venue there anymore that was big enough to house the thousands of projects that we were getting.
So was it formally in the College of Science?
It wasn't technically in the College of Science. It was a conglomeration of a lot of different colleges that supported it. Optical Sciences, the College of Engineering, it still is one of our largest sponsors. And College of Science is a large sponsor as well. But they're the sponsors, but they were also ones who organized it and did all the manpower for it. And we just grew too big. So we had to become a 501(c). And that's what we are today.
Cool.
Yeah, and my understanding, SARSEF is actually under the umbrella of Scientech 12.
That is correct.
That is the 501(c)(3) organization.
Yes, it is. It's a nonprofit. And,
fabulous,
of course, we're always looking for sponsors.
Always looking for sponsors. And I've noted that the sponsorship opportunity, and I know the College of Engineering is big, but for corporations that are in the hiring end of science, technology, engineering, and math,
absolutely,
this is a very, very big part of their name recognition and branding within a core group of people that they're going to be shopping for.
That's exactly. We've had some actual corporations that have come to us and said, we want to sponsor you because we want to attract those future employees. TEP, one
fabulous
of our longtime sponsors. Intel, they're the ones who take our kids to the international fair. Mm-hmm. Southwest Gas, they're smart.
I know Raytheon is very big with us.
Absolutely. And they know those kids are going to be the ones they want to hire.
Terrific. So I have to say one thing I find interesting about the timing of this. 1955, what were we looking at? The average baby boom kid was now basically in the center slot of elementary school and coming into middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So this really, SARSEF was spawned in the baby boom, and to some degree, we're dealing with the echo of the baby boom right now. Absolutely. In terms of the number of people involved and the number of mm-hmm. students we're starting to see participate.
And they're the ones who are sponsoring us too.
And they're the ones sponsoring us as well. So it's neat to see how the cycle is has been going.
Yeah. So now, is SARSIF unique to Tucson? I mean, it's, in terms of did other communities say, hey, Tucson's got this great thing, let's jump on board?
Yes. As a matter of fact, SARSIF was the original one. And then about 30 years later, Central Phoenix decided that that would be a good idea to do. So, you know, they're relatively new. There's a state fair that's about 7 years old. There was one up in Flagstaff. It's a little bit older than that. But we really, truly had the kind of the monopoly on the business for a long time before people started catching
pioneers
on.
Pioneers in the state of Arizona for science fairs. Yeah. Fabulous.
Yep. Now, and we're also kind of pioneers in that, and on a national level, we're one of the few fairs that actually includes kindergarten through fifth grade, which is really crucial because that's when a young scientist is mm-hmm. really forming and getting involved.
So outside of Southern Arizona, and it's much rarer to find anything other than 6 through 12?
Right? Absolutely.
That's interesting to me.
Yeah, and when you think about your own children or, you know, the children of your friends, when are they most interested in nature and science and looking at the stars and counting ants?
Kindergarten through fifth
Absolutely.
Grade, sixth grade is when they have that unbridled curiosity.
They don't
that's
stop.
When, that's when I was blowing things up. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah,
we love
well, let's
that.
Let's not talk about our youth.
Well, okay, that's when I started blowing things up.
I was a Nobel candidate then, Nobel being the man who invented dynamite.
But it's absolutely true. That's where we see the excitement in the kids' eyes, and we don't want to lose that. So that's why we play off of that and include them.
And it's fantastic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but K through 5, you see a lot more team projects and occasionally some class
correct.
Projects where the class does it.
Absolutely.
Does a project together.
Occasionally, we have teachers who say, I don't have time for every child in my class to do their own project, but I want to get them involved in the scientific method and teach them the process of doing an investigation. And so we allow class projects, and that's where the teacher would enter the project for the class. But every child in the class is involved in that same topic. So they all have to do their part of it, and they all have to keep the lab book and be a member of it. But we allow the teacher to enter a class project, and then
Fantastic.
They compete against each
and
other.
And that might take a little of the intimidation away
exactly.
from somebody that, you know, if you're between 5 and, 11 years
sure.
old, it's a little intimidating
yep.
to be...
Yeah.
That this is my project.
Exactly. And same thing with the team. Sometimes it's more fun to work with a teammate or a brother or sister, and we allow that as well.
Yeah, so even up through high school, if I have one or two people that
Correct.
Want to work with me, then I can enter as a
Absolutely.
Two- or three-person team.
Absolutely. And a lot of our business is like that because they say we have employees who aren't always good teammates and they don't know how to work
together. There's a little bit of a correlation between scientific ability and... lack of interpersonal still at times.
Yeah, the social aspect.
Occasionally. Stereotypically, yes.
Stereotypically, yes, and that stereotype actually arises out of some level of reality. So that is good to encourage
it's a
that
good
team.
Experience.
Now numbers-wise, we're talking 1 in 5 schools participate, but we're talking on a given year, say last year, how many projects were entered in the Southern Arizona Regional Science Fair?
Well, luckily, Liz reminded me on the way here, we had 75,000 students across Southern Arizona complete a project at their school. Now, we can't take all 75,000 down to the convention center and have them do SARSIF. So what we do is we take the top 10 to 12 projects per school.
Fantastic.
And that worked out this year to be 1,800 projects.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah. So if you figure how many kids are doing projects out there, it's a large number.
So that is.
So how do you choose out of 75,000 projects, how do you choose 1,800?
Luckily, we don't have to choose. We leave that up to the school judges. The schools, we teach them how to form a science fair for their school, and then they recruit their own judges, and we can help them with that. We teach them how to do that. Mm-hmm. And they choose their top 10 to 12 projects to send to us. We couldn't possibly judge every school's projects.
So what we see at the actual week-long Southern Arizona Science Fair is a distillation.
Absolutely.
It is the top 1,800
yes.
out of 75,000.
Best of the best.
The best of the best.
Yeah.
Now, is there a distillation beyond that? Do the winners
yes.
of this fair go on to...
Yes. I'll let Liz talk about that because she's had a lot of experience with that.
Well, at the middle school level, there are a couple national competitions, but one of them is the Broadcom Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an exciting opportunity for middle school kids to get to go to Washington, D.C. They spend a week there competing as a team, working on different challenges. I went back when it was called DCYSC and was sponsored by the Discovery Channel.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fantastic opportunity. They took us down in the basement of the Smithsonian to the zoo to observe pandas. had us working with EA Games on a new Nintendo product. So it was a really wide variety of STEM that we were doing, and it was all team challenge based.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, and then at the high school level, our main job at the high school level is when we're judging is to pick the top students to go to the International Science Fair. And that's sponsored by Intel, and it's held in a different city in the United States each year. This last May, it happened to be held in Phoenix, which was pretty exciting opportunity.
Very exciting.
For Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
now, international, though, we're talking students from around the globe that come to the, and it's called ICEF, correct?
Absolutely. I believe there were about 80 countries that came this year, wow. Which is really impressive. One of the new ones were like Turkey and Iraq and Switzerland.
Fantastic.
So you just get the opportunity to meet kids from around the world.
Well, that's awesome. So we need to take our first break. Or no, our second break.
But the hour break.
You know, Jeffrey like is that. Always in charge of the break things.
Sorry, I'm dropping the ball here.
No, it's no problem. So we're taking our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about the Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair with Kathleen Bethel and Liz Baker.
Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I am being joined today by
not his little brother, Jeff, by George
Johnson. I was going to say, you're not yet a perennial co-host.
This is my second time.
Second
so,
time.
So, hola, Tucson.
So George Jensen, who is responsible for our website, he's a software and website design guru.
GeorgeJensen.com. JENSON. And I'm working on SARCEF.org, the Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair, but it won't be live for another 30 to 40 days, so you might go there now. That's not an example of my work. That's what we're redoing. So looking forward to having a new science fair.
But the reason you brought up SARCEF, the Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair, is because they're here with us.
They are here with us. We've been enjoying our discussion with Kathleen Bethel and Liz Baker, and we left off talking about the International Science and Engineering Fair, which this year conveniently was in Phoenix, and I understand next year will be in Los Angeles. So we have the benefit of, for a couple years at least, having it over on our neck of the woods. And tell us a little bit, either one of you, sort of what a student can look forward to if they do make it to the science fair and if they are successful in garnering some attention and gaining or winning an award.
One of you.
Well, the prizes at the international level are absolutely mind-blowing. The top prize overall is $75,000 scholarship. Then there are two $50,000 scholarships that go to the second to a top two projects. So that's a hefty chunk of change on its own.
So that's a very big pot of gold at the end of a pretty long rainbow.
Absolutely. But even if you win any prize at all, you get a decent amount of money. I believe it's $5,000 for a best of category and $3,000 for a first place. So it really helps going to the college opportunity fund that I'm sure each parent is just, you know, absolutely thrilled that their kid is.
Speaking of thrilled, I have to interject. I am the parent of somebody who won quite a bit at the international level, and her total prizes and scholarships were $263,000. So as parents, we paid for nothing for her college. And that's why I like science a lot.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it pays the bills.
Yes.
Exactly. In more ways than one. Now, to get to these prizes, it's a long road. You know, it's not like a Bart Simpson project where you put some push pins in an eraser and show up with a little pig. I mean, these kids are working hard. And how long when should they be starting these projects, or when do they start these projects?
They should start now. Summer is really just the perfect time to begin your science fair project because you can think about what you're truly passionate about. And I think that that's what really makes a quality project. If you do something like, you know, a model volcano or something that your science teacher said might be good or that you've seen on the internet 1,000 times, you're not going to really like participating in it, and the judges are going to be able to tell, and they're not going to like your project. But if you find something that you are truly passionate about and curious about and pursue it, it shows in every step of your project. And so now is the best time to start.
Okay, so we are sitting here talking to an amazingly prolific award-winning scientist, you. What was your project?
Well, several.
I imagine you did several years, but
absolutely. I actually participated in SARSA for 10 years, and I got to compete at ISA for 4 of the years, all 4 years of high school. My top winning project was when I designed and built a therapy swing for kids with ADHD, and then tested to see if it would help them concentrate and focus. And I was inspired by that project from my family. I have a sister with ADHD and one with autism. So I was combining therapies to help both of them and wanting to see if that would help other kids who maybe couldn't take medication or maybe medications weren't working for.
So explain, it's very interesting. How was this, did the swing work? It was just, I'm imagining, like, you know, from the rafters, you just have this like straps coming down and hanging, you know, tied up in a.
It's a bit like that. We did hang it from the rafters. It started in actually my parents' garage. Thankfully, I had some space there. I have rotational devices, which allow the swing to spin really smoothly. And so I had one at the top that would allow a bar that came off of it and was kind of balanced on both sides and had two swings coming off of this bar. So you could kind of imagine it's almost like a teeter-totter that's suspended with two swings coming off of it, and then each of those spin. So I tried to design it so that it would maximally spin, and then that would stimulate the vestibular system, which is the system that needed to be stimulated in these ADHD children.
So what gave you the idea to do this?
It was truly just being around my family. My sister was struggling with ADHD, and my family was really wondering, you know, do we put her on medication? There's all of these negative side effects. What will this do to her? And then meanwhile, my sister with autism is being treated with these therapy swings. And so I had started designing swings for her several years before and found that it was a lot of fun. So it only took a little bit of research to find that ADHD kids had the same kind of deficiency in their vestibular system as children with autism did. And I thought, oh, that might be something. And so then I looked into it, and I ended up testing, I think, 40 kids in order to see if it worked.
Wow. Now, I mean, this kind of sounds like exciting things that some, you know, big wig company might want to pick up and pursue. Did you sort of get any interest from, you know, research facilities on this kind of stuff?
Not from research facilities particularly, but I did see some very similar designs come out the next year.
Some years later?
Yeah.
They're marketed right now.
I wonder how many people troll the science fairs looking for ideas to exploit.
I actually saw somebody walking around and taking notes on her project. And the CDC, she doesn't take enough credit, the CDC actually gave her $30,000 for her project. So that's not bad.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think you should, guys should not only be teaching kids about science, but also about patent protection.
Yes, exactly. It's a new area for us.
Get some intellectual, young, up-and-coming, aspiring intellectual property attorneys down there to represent the students of the science.
You know, I've read articles where, you know, young high school kids have followed their passion, and for, you know, whatever interested them, and maybe some family situation or just, you know, curiosity got them going somewhere, and they've developed potential cures for really nasty diseases, or
pancreatic cancer is the most recent one that we've had a international science fair develop a test strip for, and very inexpensive test strip. The price for the testing pancreatic cancer was quite formidable, And I forget what the, do you remember how much the test strip is?
I think it was about $50, yeah. And usually the price was in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, so pretty amazing. Pancreatic cancer has truly been.
Was that the vinegar thing?
No, no, this is like a test strip. His name is Jack.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, because I mean, I was reading that, you know, in the Middle East, they were testing for a certain type of cancer, and there was some, the true test, I guess, or the test, the standard test was really expensive, but they figured out some deal to do with vinegar.
Absolutely.
That at least could get a preliminary that they would then
they can, you know, go from there.
Pursue that.
It's amazing what kids can do. And I don't think they have boundaries, so they don't know what they can't do. As a parent, just any advice to parents out there, what I would say is watch what your child is interested in and have them focus on that and pursue it. Another thing that Liz pursued was she loved primates, and she ended up working with Jane Goodall, and she worked with Coco the gorilla, who does sign language. And, you know, that was her passion. And so by watching her, I could encourage her to do more projects on that, and then ultimately became her career. And so as parents, you know, watch your kids. If they're out there looking at the stars, that's what they should do their project on. If they love building motors, if they love blowing things up, that should be what their project should be on. I know we have a few people out there who know their child. I'm talking about them. But that's what their project should be about. Watch your children.
Well, I'm still building model rockets today. I mean,
see, there you go.
Back when I was a little kid, the Apollo missions were going up.
Oh.
And I still remember Apollo 11. And my cousin and I, we lived across the street from each other. We actually hung models of the Saturn V in the command capsule in the trees while they were in mission. And then we had our own splashdown when they came down.
No, that is so cool.
So, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, parents should be encouraging.
Yes, exactly. Because you never know where that's going to lead. You really don't.
Now, what is probably the most you're a judge. What's the most exciting thing that you've seen these kids produce?
Wow, countless. I have to say there's countless things. Just walking up and down the aisles of the International Science Fair is just, you will never look at a kid the same way again. Some are designing prosthetics that pick up the nerve endings in order to, you know, do the appropriate movements for an arm, all on their own, you know, in their garage.
Wait. These are high school, junior high school?
Absolutely. High school students designing real, you know, huge robotics that are saving people's lives or making their quality of life so much better.
Solar projects saving so much energy, money, just to heat homes out in the reservation. We have two students here from Tucson, well, from CELS, that went to the International Fair. They built a solar-powered heating device for people who are off the grid. And it was amazing. It won a first place here at SARSEF, and then at the International Fair, they won a trip to Washington, D.C. to go to the EPA. They want to see it.
Fantastic.
And that's here. Oh, these are our local kids.
Yeah,
that is sweet. Okay, well, we need to take our final break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more of these projects. But we're also going to talk about how kids get involved, how parents get involved, and how members of the community, if they want to participate as a sponsor or a mentor, how they get involved. And we'll be right back with the Fred and Jeff Show.
From yonder she came. I don't know her name, still I love that girl on a swing. Girl on a swing, swing high. Girl on a swing, swing low. Take all the hate from the world that we're in. Girl on a swing, swing high. Girl on a swing, swing low. And you can cast troubles.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my good buddy, George Jensen, who is substituting in for vacationing Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the show
on iTunes.
Now, we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And with us today, doing that, is Kathleen Bethel, and Liz Baker, both associated with the Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair, also known as SARCEF. And before the break, we were talking about some of these really cool projects.
Yeah, and Fred, I got to slip in here for a moment and say one of the things that's really got me lit up about SARCEF is that it's no longer just the science fair. It's the science and engineering fair. And I'm really on the engineering side of things in my life. So I'm a software
the building
designer.
Stuff, the building?
I like to build stuff, make it work, and make it work better. So when I was a kid, I was into model rocketry, and lately I've been into aviation, you know, and some other people here know that I'm building an airplane in my garage. Mm-hmm. So for me, making stuff work is great, and so many of the projects that were just described have such an enormous Correct. Engineering component to them. You are building swings for children with ADHD. We're building solar panels.
Building limbs.
We're not limbs. So much just coming out and saying, I have a question about how the world works, either chemically or physically or optically, and I want to answer the question. We're saying, I have a question about how my impact on the world works, and let's build something to impact it.
Correct.
So, how many of the projects would you say are pure science versus a hybrid of science and engineering versus do you have some that are pure engineering?
Absolutely. Yes. You know, engineering is the biggest category, absolutely, at the International Fair. And they've even broken it up into several subcategories, and it's still just enormous.
I love
However, it. Many of the other projects incorporate engineering into them to make them successful. My project, when I built the swing, was in social and behavioral sciences because I was hoping to help the kids. I wasn't focused on the swing design.
Sure.
So you're able to really merge all areas of STEM, and that's what makes a really great project. We've got bioengineering, too, which I always like to bring up because, you know, that's really science-based. You have to have a great understanding of chemistry, but you're engineering things on the molecular level.
So do we have some high school kids that are splicing genes in their garage now?
Absolutely. And, you know, SARCEF really...
That was not the answer I was expecting.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, SARCEF is really a great producer of the kids that come out of, especially U of A labs, mm-hmm. more likely U of A labs, but some do really work in their garage on these projects. And they do so well at the international level because they're answering some of the like absolutely most fundamental questions in science that all of the multi-million dollar research companies are trying to answer, and these kids are doing it on their own.
Oh, I have to interject. Speaking of the International Fair and how well kids do, SARCEF has 4 times the national rate of winners at the International Science Fair. That's 4 times the national rate. About 15% of the projects that are entered there win prizes. We win at the 65 to 75% level.
Okay, let me ask this real quick. Since this is the Southern Arizona Regional Science Fair.
Correct.
So that means we're kicking butt over Phoenix, right?
Absolutely.
All right. That's all I need to know now. Yep. I'm done.
We win at twice the rate of Central Arizona.
That is fantastic. Now, is there some recognition for SARCEF for that? Does the International Fair make some notations of who are their Platinum Regional Science Fair?
They were just recently made aware of it, and they were shocked. They said, that can't be possible. And when they checked it out...
Statistical anomaly.
Absolutely. And so they had to check it out, and they found out that it was indeed possible.
Now, is that because of the relationship that you have with the University of Arizona? Or, I mean, the mentors... this organization has been in existence for decades.
Yeah.
I believe that
the University of Arizona has a strong relationship with us. Not all of our kids do work in labs, but we do have mentorships and sponsorships from the University of Arizona. The University of Arizona, between all of the different departments, despite all of their cutbacks, they have maintained funding for us every year. Almost all of the colleges have donated to us. And, you know, that's commitment. And I do think that that's a large part of why our kids do well. They have a lot of sponsorship and they have a lot of mentorship. And we also start them young. We start them in kindergarten.
Well, they're breeding the new generation.
They are smart. College of
Hopefully
Engineering, for example.
The
they know. Yeah, exactly.
Well, talk about things that make living in Southern Arizona and Tucson so gosh darn wonderful. Here we are, 4 times the national average for awards at the International Fair. We have deep commitment from our university, and we're starting kids younger than many to
That's
most,
correct.
Probably not all, but most other science fairs. You know, that's a brilliant feather in the cap of of SARS-CoV and Southern Arizona.
We also have a lot of businesses, as I mentioned earlier, that are contributing because they see the value and they see the future employees.
Yeah, let's talk about those because we love talking about the folks that are supporting these great activities.
Oh, yeah. We're so fortunate. As I said earlier, the Tucson Electric Power is probably one of our longest-term supporters. The University of Arizona, of course. Raytheon, you know, they're smart. They're getting a lot of their kids from our ranks. And so they're coming right up there. Intel, another one that kids go directly to work for them. So it's kind of like a funnel, if you want to call it that. Research Corporation, another one. Sanofi Aventis, one of our new sponsors this year. They realized, hey, these kids are doing great research. Let's grab them while they're young and support them, and they're going to know our name when they graduate. So those are some of our newer ones.
Now, and along with the sponsorship, we also do some exhibitor opportunities for some of these groups. And correct me if I'm wrong, SARS-CoV's pretty closely tied as well with the Mass Science Technology Fun Fest.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Actually, we are Scientech 12 that sponsors SARS-CoV is also the sponsors of the Fun Fest. And that's where we have a lot of professionals in our community come and display for the students and get to meet with them, shake hands, and do some hands-on science with them.
Yeah. So that's November.
That's in November.
Roughly. And then the science fair is March.
Yep, March. So we hope to inspire them in November and get them in March.
November, it's like, here's what science is and technology is. Get inspired. And March is you come show off what you have done with science and technology. And it's nice to see that we have sponsors and deep community commitment.
And they come as judges as well, which is wonderful.
Now, how many people participate as judges in the science fair?
Over 330 this last year came as judges. And again, those are professionals in our community, scientists, professors, business leaders.
Engineers.
And a lot of them give their own prizes as well as judging for us. They can give their own prizes. For example, if you want to get in and be very dear to a child's heart, you give them a little cash prize for what they did.
So if I wanted to sponsor an award, I could name an award after somebody I care about or after myself if I was
awarding.
The George Jensen Award.
I could award the George Jensen Award.
So. And I'll go design a website with you. That sounds great.
So we're talking about things that are going to happen in November, going to happen in March of 2014.
Correct.
But there's a reason we're talking about you guys today, just not only just to talk about the cool stuff that's going on, but again, we said earlier, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. There's a lead time. And so kids who want to participate need to be thinking about and sort of designing the strategy they're going to use to get to March.
Yes, absolutely. It does take a lot of commitment to do a really quality project, but if you have that drive, then you should absolutely start and go for it now. The best thing to do is what I would do anyway, was lay on my bed and write a list of all the things that I've been interested in the past year. And then I would narrow it down to the things that I was most curious about or most interested in, and then start thinking of questions about it. So for many years, that happened to be about primates. So I found myself at the zoo a lot. And in order to come up with a research question, you have to do some observation first. So I think now's the prime time to go and start observing what you're interested in. So you start formulating the questions and come up with the one that you really want to answer.
Well, I think one of the things that I might have done if I was, if I was a young kid, is identify a person or an organization that might be aligned with my interests and start talking to them as part of the observation process. So if I was, some kid on my own thinking about this, wanting to do this, or a parent encouraging their child to do this, do you have resources? I mean, if they called you up, they went to your website and looked for information, could you hook them up with a mentor or a business or a sponsor and say, if a kid said, hey, I'm interested in rocketry, I'm interested in aviation, do you have somebody I can go talk to? Is that something you guys do?
We're just starting to enter that realm. We're not there yet, but in the next year, with a brand new website that George is going to help us design, we definitely want to go there.
Should be launched in 30 to 45 days.
In 30 to 45 days, we'll be up. At this point, the best thing a student could do is go to their parents or go to a teacher and say, can you help me find somebody who can answer my questions? Because we also don't encourage kids to make that initial contact, obviously, for safety reasons. We want it to be an adult.
Well, if I was like, a 12-year-old called up TEP and said, I'm interested in electricity.
Yeah, exactly. We can help channel students, and we do take questions via our website, so we will do that.
Awesome. Well, we have a couple minutes left. Any last things? I mean, you mentioned all your sponsors, which is great. If somebody is listening today and wants to either be a mentor or get their company involved in the science fair, what do they need to do?
All they have to do is Google SARSEF, and that's probably the best and fastest way. I'd love to talk to them. I'd love to come to your company and talk to anyone there.
Yeah, how many times do you go out in the community per year to make a presentation to a school or to an organization? I know that's a big part of what you're doing.
We do. We went to 86 schools this last year, and we did presentations for individual classrooms and whole schools. So we go out to schools all the time, at least a couple times a week. And then I go out to businesses, and I'll talk at least once a week to any company that's interested in finding out more about a sponsorship.
Fantastic. And the website, again, will be a very good tool to get some background and to essentially be able to schedule one of those presentations.
Correct.
Should one be required. 330 judges. Do you have some other volunteers that you want to thank that participate and help run the logistics of the fair?
I just tallied their hours, 4,200 hours by our community volunteers.
Wow.
Yes, it's amazing. We just tallied. And those are, again, from businesses that allow their employees to come help us that week of SARSEF. And this next year, it's going to be March 10th through the 15th.
Now, is the public is it open to the public?
It
for
is
a time
open.
Of that?
The only day it's closed is Tuesday of that week when we do judging.
Okay,
but the rest of the week, please come down.
So fantastic way to come out and see.
Awesome. So, guys, thank you.
We've
been talking to Kathleen Bethel and Liz Baker from the Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you.
I have one bit of housekeeping, George. We have a dozen roses to give away from our friends, the Coleman family at Mayfield Florist. So let's come up with a question.
Roughly, how many projects are done in schools across Southern Arizona? And out of that rough amount, roughly how many made it to this year's Southern Arizona Regional Science and Engineering Fair?
Awesome. So if you know the answer to those questions, send it to Fred at fredjeff.com, and we will see you all next week.
Here come the judge. Here come the judge. If you don't leave.